It's Thursday, April 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And yes, today is the infamous day that was in Terminator. No, the missiles are not falling, but we got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran and got a little bit of something going on with my throat. I think there's a frog in there or something. But hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And hopefully within the next, while the show's going here, the Gadget Professor will get his show uploaded. He actually has got it recorded. They uploaded it and only 42 megs went up to the website. So he's, I think he's in the process of re-uploading now and hopefully he'll have it posted tonight before I get my show posted. But the Gadget Professor will be on the website, fresh episode number 4. You guys are subscribed to that thing like gangbusters. It's pretty wild to see the near straight up growth of that show. It's the first couple of shows I was kind of like, where are we going to go with this thing? And very quickly it took off. But Gadget Professor, I have a fresh show up on GNC tonight or tomorrow morning. And of course, we want to welcome, thank you for staying subscribed to this show. And of course, I produce this show every Monday and Thursday night with a Tuesday and Friday release. You'll want to get over and subscribe to all of our shows. And you'll find that via the second column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And, you know, really subscribing is easy. You can do it through iTunes, through the Zune Marketplace, or just grab the RSS feed. And we've got all that stuff there in plain sight for you to be able to subscribe. And of course, we want you to get signed up for the newsletters as well. The newsletter contains everything and I'm going to talk about during this show. I will email the newsletter to you immediately following the show posting. That way you'll have all the links of everything that I'm going to cover during the show. So we encourage you, of course, to get subscribed to the newsletter. Warm welcome to the Ohana. All of you that are longtime listeners of the show, I want to thank you for being part of the family. Of course, if you're new to the show, hey, welcome to the podcast. And we hope that you'll stick around and be with us for a while. We're doing something new tonight, doing a little bit of an experiment. And what I'm doing on, we're still pushing the live stream to Ustream. So that channel is up and in running and being recorded. But instead of going to Justin TV tonight, I'm actually pushing a separate stream to the new streaming service by Amazon and their AWS service. So we're actually, what you see up on Geek News Central at live.geeknewscentral.com is actually a stream coming from the good folks at Amazon. Now, pretty cool little process here. $5 a month to have the license to do Flash Media Encoder. It costs me 44 cents an hour to stream plus the bandwidth. So we're going to see how this works out. And I like it because there's no ads. No ads in the live stream, and I'm actually watching the downstream here, and it's perfect. There's nobody, you know, there's no diaper ads, or there's no car ads, or nothing like that popping up in front of you. So I think we're going to be using this for a while. We'll see how much the bandwidth costs are, but I'll be running the live stream probably for about 20 hours this first go-round, just to see how it does, and kind of do a, you know, a cost test to see where it's going to come in at. And of course, if you're watching on the Boxy or on the Roku, I want to thank you for watching. We kick back in your Lazy Boy and via either the Tech Podcast or Blueberry Channel. Of course, this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we want to encourage you to go over to techpodcast.com and check out all the great content over there. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the Geek News Central Podcast. And really, we've got some great deals for you. If you get over to GoDaddy.com and you're looking to pick up a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be in an online service, GoDaddy's really the place to go and the place to check things out. And plus, I got some great codes for you. And all you got to do really is go over to GeekNewsCentral.com. You'll go down on the website here, and there's in the second column of the website, there's a link that's under the important link section that says GoDaddy promo codes. You click on that, and that'll list all the promo codes. We got some good ones there. 25% off by using CES25 if you are a new customer at GoDaddy. So in your first purchase, this is a one-time deal. You get to use that code one time, CES25, to get some codes off. I actually did some domains this week and got them from $7.49 and using ComSale2. Of course, ComSale will get you $7.99.com. Geek5 will save you 15% off orders of $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And we encourage you, of course, to get over to GoDaddy.com and check out all those great products. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. In the mailbox, or actually via UPS, on Monday, this was delivered, and I had not gotten a chance to read much of this. This is Paul Allen's new book, The Idea Man. And I spent let's see where I'm at. I'm at 183 pages, and I didn't start reading it till Tuesday because I had a show, of course. And then I had, other stuff to do. But in the evenings, I've been reading through this, and I'll be honest with you. This is probably the book I'm going to recommend all of you. Either you pick up at Audible or pick up on Amazon, wherever you may be getting books these days. And it's pretty good. The first 180 pages were like flip, going through it real quick, and a lot of inside information, stuff we never knew. I really never knew about Microsoft, and just the things that they went through in the early days. Now, I've read a couple of Bill Gates' books, but it's really a completely different perspective. And that's all I can say is wow. And I'm looking forward to getting through the rest of it. But the first 180 pages made it worth, of course, they sent it to me as a review. But the first 180 pages, even if I was to pick it up, and I think it's $14 or $15 at Amazon, it'd been worth the purchase of the book just for the first 180 pages. It almost made me want to live in that time frame and be involved in something so cool. It really was cool what they did, and the dice they rolled and the challenges. It's a great book. It really, really is. Well, we're going to have a Saturday morning tech show. We'll be back on schedule Saturday morning. We'll be starting at 9 a.m. Pacific. So we'll be here, and I'll have a couple of guests. Don't know exactly who they are yet. We've got to get them locked in tomorrow. But I'll be here Saturday morning if you want to come and hang out and watch a Saturday morning tech show, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 6 a.m. here in Honolulu. So that's in the plan. Got midterms this weekend. I have two tests, 5 hours each. Yeah, I was a little bit tested. Normally they're like 2.5, and they said 5 hours each. And a little bit wide-eyed on that one. So about the time I get done with the morning show, will be about the time I'll be starting my first midterm from my statistics class. I have all my calculators and everything ready to rock and roll. But it's a little intimidating, that big of a test. Been busy this week following up on stuff for NAB. So that's kind of went well. It really has. And we're going to be busy all next week doing that as well. So it's just one of those things that, we continue to work through, and we'll hopefully have some more new announcements for you soon. Hey, just to make sure we pay a few more bills here before we get into the content, and I want to get into the content as early as possible. is really in business today, you know, people are on the go. You know, I'm no exception to that. I'll probably be heading out and doing a mainland trip the second week of May, maybe even the third, to be out for a couple of weeks. And really, for working from home or anywhere, you really got to have the ability now to be virtual and do things that look professional, no matter where you're at. And it's just like this show. When I take this show on the road, I try to keep the show as professional as possible. And even though the video quality may not be as good when I'm on the road, you know, it's always, you know, always try to get the show produced and put it out. But, you know, when it comes to meetings, it's almost impossible in this day and age to get everyone in the same room. And of course, no one wants to travel right now because still everything's a little funny in the economy. And, you know, and being green is cool right now. And that's why our sponsor, Citrix GoToMeeting, is a cool green product. You don't have to get in an airplane. You don't have to get in your car. You just load it up on your computer desk. You share your screen with the person you have a meeting with. You do a collaborative meeting. You basically show examples. You can walk through contracts. You name it. Whatever you can do on your computer screen, even showing videos and processes, you can do it right there and have a conversation through your webcam microphone or your computer's microphone. You don't even have to pick up a telephone. So that's why I want you to try GoToMeeting. This is a great product. It really is. You can hold as many meetings as you want. I'm going to give you a free trial for 30 days. As a listener of this show, you can get a free trial by going to GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Again, go to GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Fill out the information. Enter the promo code podcast, and you'll get a free 30-day trial. Again, don't forget that promo code podcast. And if you forget where to go, don't worry. You can come over to my website and click on the link on the website. And basically, it's going to take you to a GoToMeeting page. And they'll be able to get you set up there. You just put your information in. And again, no credit card required. It takes 2 minutes to get set up and get going. So we want you to do a trial and let us know what you think about GoToMeeting. It's a product I use every single day. I really do. And matter of fact, multiple times every day. And we appreciate you giving GoToMeeting a try. And hopefully you fall in love with this as much as I have. And we'll start using it on basically you'll pay for it and use it on a regular basis. Okay, let me look at my list here. Got through everything there. And we talked about that. And I think we're good. So don't forget to go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers. All our offers are there. Don't forget, if you want to help support the show additionally and help become an insider, become a supporter of the show, go to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Your $2, $5, $10, or $20 a month monthly donation it helps us out here, helps us keep the lights on, and helps us build to the point where we can add an additional producer in the office. And have basically all this great content, and also blog postings are going up on GNC on a daily basis. Been some great content on there. If you haven't been following the site, you're going to want to come over on a daily basis. I think we've got 7 or 8 writers now that are contributing, which means there's a steady stream of content at GNC. I got a whole stack of stuff for you tonight, and as I talked about in the last show, or actually what I kind of tried to do in the last show, was to kind of focus on the important stuff of the day. And I'm going to be working on a schedule now with the show where basically we're going to try to get done with the content at about an hour. I'm going to try to be wrapped up, and we'll go into any voicemails or any emails that have come in. As a matter of fact, I didn't even check the voicemail system here. Well, I'll do that as I'm going through the show. But really, this is the kind of the format I'm going to try to stick to, and we're going to try to keep the length down on the show instead of going an hour and 21 minutes every time. And you know, it's become a little bit of a monster from that standpoint. So that's the goal, is to try to keep the time under check. And it does a couple of things. It helps in the total size the total size of the program here when it comes for a download, and also just, you know, I think it'll keep the show a little cleaner. I'll probably always go long. You guys know me, but I'm going to give it a try. Well, let's look at here. What have we got? We've got two separate calls that have come in, and they both look like they could potentially be those robot calls. I'm going to save these and then I'll have them available at the end of the show. We'll play them and we'll see what if that's what it was it actually called in. But let's go ahead and get into the first tech article of the evening. And it's a video that I saw and I was completely stunned by what this guy had done. And I want to show this to you, and it's a pretty amazing. And I actually got to plug in a wire here that I didn't plug in. Let me do that. Shows you how prepared I am. And this video was shot in, I believe, South Dakota, and the guy used a time lapse camera. And this thing is so cool. And I found this over on Wired. This is 2 minutes and 48 seconds, but I was so enthralled with it, I want to share this with you guys. And for those of you that are listening to the audio portion of the show, what I'll probably do is I'll probably cut this section out and then go right into the next topic. But for those of you who are watching the video, here we go. We'll go ahead and bring this up, and I'll start it. Okay, so what that is, or what that was a pretty amazing video that just, you know, it really blew me away. And it's by a guy by the name of Randy Halverson. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for you all to check out. For those of you that were on the audio portion of the show, you'll be able to go in and view this. But I've never seen any time-lapse nighttime stuff like this. And how he did the video and being able to keep track of the stars and move the camera at the same time was pretty awesome. So anyway, I just saw that tonight. I sit here with my jaw that was kind of drawed open, and I just wanted to share that with everyone. But the actual title of it was Dakota Lapse Night Time Lapse. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, that was, of course, today is the day of the Terminator. You know, the Terminator, supposedly, in the movie The Terminator. this is the day that was prophesized as Judgment Day, when the machines rise up and bring about the end of the human society as we know it. Obviously, that has not happened, but the BBC's got a pretty cool article talking about how close were the Terminator films to the reality of 2011. And, you know, I don't think we're anywhere near. I don't think we're anywhere close. We may have some drones, but we don't have any robots. So it is kind of interesting here. And it is, it's kind of fun. It's been a trending topic on Twitter for the past couple of days, but the Terminator did not come back. So, but anyway, classic movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And but anyway, that's that. Hey, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com. I check his blog out on a regular basis, and you know, he's I consider one of the podfathers, one of the, you know, the founders of podcasting, of course, along with him, with Adam Curry. And back in 2005, him and Adam had a little bit of a, I guess, for a falling out. So I was pretty flabbergasted today when I read on a blog post that he wrote on Tuesday, where basically he said, lots of catching up to do. And Dave's been working with some stuff on EC2. He's been working on Amazon Cloud. And, you know, I'm starting to get into that a little more. Obviously, I'm running the stream tonight, and the primary stream, it's on live.geeknewscentral.com on Amazon. And he says in a link here, he says, I'm working with Adam Curry. He says, I know this will surprise a lot of people, but he and I do good work. He's a user who loves to get his hands dirty. He almost prefers if the software doesn't work when he gets it so he can kind of figure it out. Any developer would see why you would like those kinds of users. I also work with him because he has a vision of how all pieces fit together, which not only agrees with mine, but he also sees things that I don't. Of course, we had a big blow up in 2005, but the dust has settled from then. I may be a fool, but I got to say, workflows much better with Adam Curry around. There are some things I don't like about him, like his Twitter icon, for example, but you take the good with the bad. And I don't even know what his Twitter thing looks like. And I know he's doing No Agenda with Dvorak. And they've got a great model over there where they're raising literally thousands of dollars every show through user contributions. I think I listened to one of his shows a couple of weeks ago, and I think they had $2,400 in a single show for contributions. That's just remarkable. It really is. So it tells you the depth of the audience that they're gathering over there, but doesn't talk a lot about what they're working on. So I'm going to be kind of following Dave a little closer, and those two, when they get their heads together, sometimes some cool stuff comes out. So we'll see what develops with that. Over on GigaOhm, there's a good write-up on Amazon launching library lending, and I was not aware of this until I read this article, but Amazon has basically said that they are going to roll out a Kindle lending library later this year, which is going to allow users of the popular e-reader to borrow books from more than 11,000 libraries throughout the United States. Now, that's pretty cool. Now, I know here in Hawaii, we can already check library books out digitally. But I have to have, I pay state taxes, I pay property taxes, I pay for my, you know, for my libraries to exist here in Hawaii. And even though the libraries have largely been, you know, they've been impacted across the entire United States, they do have the ability to do digital lending. And I got to thinking about this a little bit. So if Amazon is going to be working with 11,000 libraries to set up e-borrowing, that makes me really questions here how this is going to work. And there's no details of the program yet. So I'm going to be very curious to see where this goes from a, you know, from a legal standpoint. And, time will tell. I know that here in Hawaii, you get to check a book out for 2 weeks and then it expires, and it basically reverts your license to view it expires. But this probably has publishers a little bit scared if they're, once again, their space is potentially being impacted. Google has told Roku to remove the rogue YouTube channel. And for those of us that kind of knew this already, there was a private YouTube channel for the Roku that you could get access to. You needed a special code. You had to have the right link to it, and you could add it. It's just basically was a private app, and as a matter of fact, that's how we're testing Q2, our soon-to-roll-out pay-per-view video-on-demand service. And the basically, YouTube has basically said, that's it, no more. Shut them down. So if you've got it on your Roku channel already, don't delete it, okay? It'll continue to work, supposedly, at least for now. But if you haven't added it, you won't be able to. Now, apparently, they are in talks with the folks at YouTube in order to get the content up on the device. Now, I think probably something that has changed is the Roku actually grabs either the M4V or MP4 file that is hosted by YouTube. It doesn't use the flash, and that's what a lot of people get confused, is that there's actually a media file being served to the Roku device. And up to this point, there's been no way to do a pre-roll, interstitcher, or a post-roll on the device, but they launched the Crackle channel about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the Crackle channel basically now introduced the ability to do a pre-roll, interstitcher ad, and a post-roll. So this will probably be the clincher for YouTube. In order to get YouTube videos up there, you'll probably have to watch an ad or an interstitcher. And the interstitials kind of suck because it'll be, you do the pre-roll, then the video will start. Instead of it happening in the foreground, actually the video will stop. They'll run the interstitial ad, and then when the ad's done, then the video will continue. So for some YouTube videos, it doesn't make a lot of sense. For this show, it'd probably be okay because, you know, we're a pretty long show, and you guys could probably handle, a 15-second break somewhere in there with an ad. Anyway, that's the news coming out of the Roku camp. We'll see what happens with this. This was an article over on GigaOM as well in their new TV section. How many of you have some hard drives laying around that you want to get rid of, that you need to smash, or you just are afraid to even send them someplace because you're afraid someone's going to get a hold of them, take them apart, and get data from you? Well, there is a solution. The folks over at Ogizmo.com are basically talking about a new device that punches holes in hard drives. Now, they've got a video on this that demonstrates this, and I'm going to play this, and it's kind of short. It's 27 seconds, and I'll talk about it here as it's playing. But you stick a hard drive in this thing, and it's just like a shredder. The only difference is they push a button, and these two spikes come out and smash right through the hard drive, and so it goes through the spindle. So you've got a couple of holes in it then. So once it's got done and it's down, it's got this ominous green light, then a little door opens up underneath, boom, and it drops into the container below, which is kind of cool from a standpoint of the ability to, this is obviously if someone has a company and they need to smash a bunch of these, but this is not for home use, folks. $3,300. It is definitely not the cheapest way to destroy a drive. The best way to destroy a drive is to give your kid some hammers or sledgehammers and give them some safety goggles. And I've got a little steel plate here, and I let them put the hard drives on the steel plate. And then I let the boys use the sledgehammer to have, some boy fun in smashing the devices. And that has worked out pretty good, much cheaper than the $3,300 hole puncher, really, for your hard drives. But I thought this was pretty cool. And for those of you that are dealing with a lot of drives, this may be a good option for you. Hey, KL over at one of our writers at Geek News Central wrote about Crackle now being available for your mobile device. And of course, it was made available on the Roku here recently. But Crackle is available on the iPad. And even though KL was a little bit disappointed on this, and she was a little bit disappointed by the number of movies, you can watch some of the older movies that are available, and also sitcoms that are available, that basically it's ad supported. So you're going to get some ads during the show. Probably about every 10 minutes, you're going to get a commercial. And you probably see the same commercial over and over again. But it is an ad supported model where you can watch free movies on your iPad. And they, again, it's on the Roku as well. So I don't know if they've got one for the Android or not. But this is a great thing to use if you're, if you're on travel and you're looking to watch an old movie that you watched once before. Pretty cool little process here. Hey, over at Engadget, when the earthquake and tsunami happened, and then of course everything going on with the Fukushima nuclear power plant, I kept asking my wife, "Where's the robots?" And of course, we've heard recently about the iRobot being sent in. They've got a couple of those on the scene, and there's all kinds of remote controlled vehicles now. They've even got some pretty good sized helicopters that are close to being ready as a remote control vehicle. But what they did is they worked with a company that has what they call the T-Hawk. It's a U.S. made micro air vehicle. And they actually used this in the Fukushima danger zone. And they actually went in and filmed the area in and around the Fukushima plant. Now, I'm not going to play this video because it just shows a lot of destruction. But I wondered why it took them so long to get on the ball to do this. I would have thought this would have been something that they would have had in their arsenal to begin with, in order to survey damage. You think about it, where we've gotten today, we've got a lot of robotic devices. We have a lot of, police forces are using remote controlled robots, and our armed forces are too, to disarm bombs and all kinds of other stuff. So I couldn't figure out why they weren't using robots early on. But the Honeywell T-Hawk has been used at the Fukushima nuclear power plant to film high-definition video for the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, there, in order to basically find out what the heck's going on, you know, in and around that destruction zone. So it just kind of freaks me out why this took so long. I should have been in there before. And but I bet you this will now be on the short list. And I hope this is on the short list for all our nuclear power plants as well, from a, you know, from a, you know, from a planning contingency standpoint. So the T-Hawk, yeah, I think is pretty cool. American technology coming to play in the Japanese disaster, which is good. All right, the topic that everyone has been talking about, and it all has to do with your iPhone and it tracking you. And I guess this has been known for a while, but it's just made kind of the public scene. The location tracker file that is inside, that's been, you know, basically everywhere you go with your iPhone, it tracks you. And if that data is extracted from the phone, it can develop a map that shows pretty close where your travel habits are. And this is going to be a, how should I say this? If anyone's getting a divorce, if anyone's any type of legal issue, and they get your iPhone, and they take this data file off, if you have no business in a specific area, and you're going back and forth between that area, you know, there could be a spouse could say, you know, what you doing over there in El Segundo? You know, you never go over there. Why are you over there? You know, why is this big concentration of dots over there? You know, and then one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, some guy is getting caught with his girlfriend, or, you know, vice versa, or even legal issues where, okay, where were you at? What time? Let me see your phone. And next thing you know, someone's getting fired because they ran off and did an errand someplace and it had a timestamp during working hours. You know, there's all kinds of nasty things that can be determined from this Apple location tracker file. Well, it bothers me quite a little bit, and it should bother you. But Congressman Ed Markey of Massachusetts has sent Apple Chief Executive Officer Steve Jobs a letter asking him to describe the purpose of that file. And he's given him a couple weeks to do that. May 12th is when he wants his answer back by. Now, there's already some gouge out there. If you've got a jailbroke phone, there's a new plugin that will allow you to erase that file. But apparently, police agencies have been using this for a while and using it against people that are, you know, either doing something illegal. It makes you wonder if that's what the Michigan State Police has been pulling off phones. And we talked about that on the last show. And that's still a big thing up in the air, even though the Michigan State Police came back and said that all we're using that for is when we do have a search warrant or if someone voluntarily gives their phone over. So that kind of cleared up a few things where we were thinking that they were doing this just on a traffic stop. But I guess it depends on what kind of traffic stop. If it's a drug traffic stop, then I would suspect that they would have something in place to pull that data. But this whole Apple location tracker, and there's no way to turn it off. You cannot opt out of this. At least nothing I have seen. If someone finds out how you can opt out of having this thing track you, please email me. I'd love to share that with everyone. But at this point, that's not the case. But there is a lot of gouge out there. I have some link in the show notes for you to view. Hey, little more space news here. There's some pretty good photos by astronaut Ron Garn that he's been taking some just stunning pictures. And I have that link up in the show notes. Those are from space.com. There's also news out of Mars where there's basically they've detected a thick dry ice sheet in the southern hemisphere. And up to 672 meters deep, thick. So that's pretty exciting stuff. from the Mars surveyor that's basically mapping Mars. They've gotten this data. So that has been kind of in the spin here. One thing that I question, and we talked about on the last show, where NASA had bevied out some money. They bevied out money to SpaceX, Boeing, a couple of other companies. And one of them we had never heard about before was called Blue Origin. And this is, as the folks over at space.com say, highly secretive private rocket developer. Was one of the four companies, of course, we know that was chosen by NASA. And this week to receive funding toward the design and testing of a spacecraft. There is a conceptual design picture now that they've been able to show us. And makes you wonder here what these guys are up to. So I'm trying to find more information about this. But they do have some concepts on how this thing is going to land and be reusable. Going to launch on a rocket. It looks like it lands with retro rockets or something to that effect. But they say it'll be able to carry 7 astronauts. And it doesn't say how much cargo. And it will also serve as an ISS emergency escape vehicle for up to 210 days. So very cool stuff. Anyway, I have a link up in the show notes on that. Last couple of space things here. Hubble, 20 plus years here on orbit, taking great pictures. And they've got a tribute to it and showing some great pictures that Hubble has, and some of the biggest discoveries Hubble has made in the past 20 years. So I have that link up in the show notes for you too. Now, if you're into conspiracy theories a little bit, here's one for you. And I don't know how long this has been known about, but I'm looking at a Freedom of Information Act document that's been redacted. It's dated November 12th, 1963. Now, if you think about this date, and this was a memorandum for the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Subject of the document says classification review of all UFO intelligence files affecting national security. And this is, letter goes on. It says, as I have discussed with you previously, I've initiated, and it says redacted, and instructed James Webb to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar exploration. It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases. You see this? It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases reviewed with the purpose of identification of a bona fide, as opposed to classified, CIA and USA force sources. It is important that we make a clear distinction between the knowns and unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space program. When this data has been sorted out, I would like you to arrange a program of data sharing with NASA where unknowns are a factor. This will help NASA mission directors in their defensive responsibilities. I'd like an interim report on the data review no later than February 1st, 1964. So he requested this information November 12, 1963. February 1st, 1964 is when we want to report it back, but he wanted information on UFO intelligence, and this is signed by President John F. Kennedy. This is big. This is very, very big. Now, the rest of you can go and look at your calendars and what day was JFK assassinated. So this is big. So he wanted more information on UFOs during the Cold War. And I find it amazing here that the Cold War was going on and we were doing a program or developing a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar exploration. Wow, is all I can say. This was attained by a Freedom of Information Act, supposedly written on November 12th. And so this is definitely going to add some fuel to the fire under underlying issue surrounding the president's death. And they're asking if this document is authentic or not. And so we don't know yet if this is a real document or not. It supposedly is. The gentleman that was able to get this apparently was a gentleman that was writing a new book on JFK. So he said in this, the government regularly declassifies documents after a certain amount of time goes by, and then you have to file a request for those documents. Lesser told Life's Little Mysteries, a sister site of space.com, when I was in the process of filing those letters and just become declassified and released to the public, this happened in 2006 or 2007. He said, at the time, I think other people were getting them too. And this document hasn't turned up anywhere else beside this guy's book. And some are asking, of course, for the authenticity of this. And so at this point, this could be a fake document. But it makes you wonder, makes you go, because if they were going to send something redacted, you think, you know, the smoking gun for me is that they would have redacted in here the line, it would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases reviewed. To me, that would be like, if I was the person that was on the government side that was going to release this as for a Freedom of Information Act, I would have had that line blacked out. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes and see if this actually turns up to be true or if it is something false. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the timing on the letter was pretty eye-opening. If it turns out to be true, boy, oh boy, the conspiracy theorists are going to go nuts with this one. But I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out and check the full story about this. But geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear your comments. And link will be up to it for you to check out. All right. The, you know, for a number of years, they've been drilling to get to the Lake Vostok. And I guess we missed it, but news came out that they actually had punched through. And they were able to grab some samples. And what they found here was encased in liquid veins at minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 140,000 years, they found some bacteria. And this bacteria looks unlike anything they've ever seen before. They're calling it the Thing. So it's a 140,000-year-old organism, and it was discovered in Antarctica's ice-shrouded Lake Vostok. You know, be honest with you, I don't believe it. I think there's contamination. I can't imagine anything having to have survived. That they said the team observed that some organisms in permafrost appear to have protein repair enzymes that maintain active recycling of certain amino acids needed for cell repair for at least 30,000 years. And they added that the extremely low expenditure of survival energy enable microbial communities in extreme environments to survive indefinitely. So we'll see where they come with this, but they have been able to get some stuff here that has the scientists all giddy. Moving on. How many of you ever followed the website Download Squad? Well, Download Squad was part of, and I say was part of, Huffington Post and AOL Tech. They're done. They're shutting downloadsquad.com. There'll be no more new articles from downloadsquad.switch.com. They pulled a plug on it. I guess today was the last day of writing, and the archives are going to be available, but this is one site that you can take off your read list. And I'd get some good stuff from there from time to time, and I'm looking at this. You know, they got 336 comments on this article. It's been shared 242 times. That seems like a decent amount of traffic, but I guess, you know, you have to define how much traffic you want. Okay. Next article up is one over on Engadget, and it talks about the AT&T basically filing a 381-page document to the FCC. What they released to the public was heavily, heavily redacted. And AT&T basically has told the FCC how important T-Mobile is in for them to be able to, you know, for them to survive. And apparently they've got some strategies going on here that they're trying to convince the FCC that this this merger with T-Mobile is going to be good. AT&T says it is, and here's the sob story. AT&T says it had to deliver 8,000 times more data, which portrays itself as a victim of its own success. They said 8,000 times more data in 2010 than it did 3 years ago. That was over 10 petabytes a year. And then, you know, they go on and they're just whining and crying, you know, we have it so bad. Yet they're making huge, huge money. And they're saying that T-Mobile is the knight in shining armor. They're going to save AT&T from these severe capacitive shortages. But at the same time, they have to say, hey, this is going to be a big deal if T-Mobile disappears. There's, you know, going to be plenty of competition left. We're still going to have Verizon. We're still going to have Sprint. I have plenty of competition still. I'm telling you, I don't see this merger go down. When the FCC opens up for comments, I would encourage you to go over there and make comments, your comments known. But, you know, it's the PDF, if you want to watch, if you want to read through this PDF with the parts that you can that they haven't redacted, is available. Have the link up in the show notes for you. Basically, it's on the Engadget page. But, boy, interesting strategy. That's for sure. Okay, Toshiba has announced a waterproof camera. Now, this is a little different camera. You know that we've lost the flip. The flip is gone. The folks that Cisco decided that they wanted to dump their investment. So I've been looking around for a little bit of you know, what's available on the handheld market. And so Toshiba has introduced a waterproof Camellia BW10, does 1080p video, five megapixel stills for $150. So there's plenty of cameras available in this size. Now, you're going to pay a premium for models you want to use in deeper water, but this one is a pretty good one that you could take to the beach and not have to worry about, you know, get a little water on it, be okay. They say that this one can go as much as 6.5 meters deep. I don't think I would do that, but you're going to, you know, be able to at least get one that'll be a little more durable. So a good product being announced today by the folks at Toshiba. How many of you use Yahoo Buzz? Well, Yahoo Buzz is bye-bye Buzz, and this is another Buzz service that is going away. Jeffrey Powers, one of our writers at Geek News Central, basically that, you know, talking about how Yahoo continues to shed weight. And so again, this time Yahoo Buzz is going away, and they're going to discontinue the service as of today. So you're not going to be able to access Yahoo Buzz site. And so anyway, so that means Yahoo 360, My Blog Log, all the web have been put in mothballs or gone. So I thank Jeffrey for this article over at GNC. This is a product I actually have, and this product is now available over at Best Buy. We did a review on this a number of months ago. And I, you know, I can't even pronounce the name of this device. I think it's called Warpia. It's a wireless media streaming adapter. And this worked pretty good. So basically what it does is the one adapter plugs into your computer, has some software. The other portion of the adapter goes and plugs into your TV. And what you really can do here is you can stream HD, the HD receiver and transceiver is about $170, but you can sit with your laptop or another device and actually do this, or you can any device that will work with this. But this is pretty cool. uses a wireless USB dongle for your PC as the base station and the one that connects to your TV. They have an HDMI port as well. So it works for about 30 feet. And when I was testing it here, it worked out really well. So if you want the Stream HD, $170. But if you want the wireless USB PC to TV adapter, it's only $130. These are available at Best Buy. And I think the one I used, I don't think it was HD. Yeah, it must have been HD. It was the, because I used it streaming some larger shows. Well, Apple has announced the earnings statement, and boy, oh boy, stores have done them well. They had $4 billion in revenue, in retail revenue. They only had about $1 billion of retail total profit, though. So that's good. So $1 billion of profit on $4 billion in sales, 25% profit. They're doing pretty doggone good. So we'll see what the market holds for them for where the stock goes. It's probably up. I think it went up $6 or $7 today, but the announcement came out yesterday. And what's interesting is all the real fancy analysts got the earnings call wrong, basically what they thought they were going to actually do in sales, and the bloggers got it right. But I've got the link here at ifoapplestore.com. Basically, it's a site that talks about Apple products and Apple's retail stuff, and they've got the full details of the SEC release. So Google is going to come out swinging on Groupon. They're going to try to compete in the marketplace with them. And so they've got a daily deal service now that's coming. I haven't seen this yet. But essentially what's going to happen here is Google is going to be competing with Groupon after turning down Google's $6 billion buyout offer. And can you, you know, I think Groupon's going to, that was probably a dumb thing. $6 billion and they walked away from it. Just amazing. But anyway, the Google has built what appears to be a pretty big product offering. Clients will be able to go in and actually submit stuff via Google Offers, and then the daily deals will show up in a variety of different places. And they're launching initially in Portland, Oregon, so that would be the first city that they're going to launch into. But time will tell how this does from a competition base against Groupon. This article was over at GigaOhm.com. Now, how many of you like those styrofoam shipping balls? You know, like those little styrofoam nuggets? Those things are pretty annoying when you get them. You know, I open a box and it's always like poof, and they explode all over the place. How would you like to package something you're sending to a special person with what would appear to be a scrunched up $1 million bills or $1,000 bills? There's a company out there that has developed financial padding. For just $15, you get what appears to be $200, $100 bills. It can be crumpled up and used to protect light to medium weight objects. The paper actually is very clearly marked as, you know, basically it's got zeros on it, and so it's not, you're not going to be get charged with trying to counterfeit. But pretty cool. Open up a box and it looks like the packing is all crumpled up $100 bills. That'd be pretty cool. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes where you can pick that up. Last night, Amazon.com had an issue. They had an AWS outage. And it appears that a number of companies were down this morning for quite a while, and they had a hard time getting them up. And one guy that does GeekWire.com, he basically says that he wasn't so mad about the outage, but he was very upset about the actual communication from Apple. And he said that the down notice was written more like a lawyer had written. He says Amazon's update read that they were written by the attorney or accountants who were hedging against their stated SLA rather than being written up by a tech guy trying to help another tech guy. So I don't know how many of these companies were affected. I know that we stayed up. Blueberry.com is running on an EC2 instance. And we weren't affected by the data center that went down, but did have a discussion with Angelo today. Say how easy can we come up on another data center? And we kind of talked about that for a little bit. But anyway, if you had some sites that were not available this morning, that may have been the issue with Amazon having some outages of their cloud service. There's a study done by Twitter users. If you're using Twitter every day, you may have a higher tendency to have a relationship breakup. It shows that people that Twitter every day actually have a much higher breakup risk than those that don't. And I thought this was kind of funny. And they come up with some other facts as well that were probably not worthy of discussion on this show. But I'll have the link up in the show notes, and you can check it out. You guys notice here on Chrome, there's a Digital Trends now has a Google Chrome extension. Get the latest news on topics you like direct to your browser, prompting me to install a plugin for Digital Trends right from their website. That's worse than advertising. A little annoying, to say the least. Okay, last couple of articles here before we get into the news. $36 million of stolen credit cards. Hackers pled guilty. And he's facing up to 12 years in jail. So if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So this guy is apparently getting ready to go to the big house for a while. Apple today was named the least green tech company. And apparently because their data centers are mostly being fed by coal-operated power stations, which, what isn't being powered by coal? But the Green Report said, how dirty is your data? And they said Apple's the data is the dirtiest. Okay, whatever. I'm sure part of that was political in that, oh, Apple's at the top of the game, so let's make a big announcement that Apple's a dirty company. I just, you know, Greenpeace, they have their own way of doing things. And, you know, they're not going to say Todd's company, you know, is the dirtiest company. We're not green. They're not going to say, you know, they're not going to say some small company. They're going to say somebody like Apple that has got big exposure in the space. So we've talked about it here, but it was on guardian.co.uk. New York Times is saying they've gotten 100,000 subscribers to the paywall. So we'll see where that goes. I don't know if they're pleased with those numbers or not, but 100,000 people have signed up. And I saw an ad for that on a website the other day. And it was a pop-up ad that came up and showed two people. And it was really annoying. It was a huge pop-up ad. And it was like two people, one that had the free edition, one that didn't. So anyway, I watched it, but I didn't act on it. Studios, of course, are talking about offering $30 movie rentals. Day one releases, theater orders are complaining, saying that we can't compete with that. They said many of the theaters are saying we don't want to show movies that are on TV. We want to protect the movie-going experience. Yeah, they want to protect their, you know, their $10 popcorn and $8 sodas and their $7 candy and their $12.50 entrance fee. That's what they're trying to protect. So I think movie theaters are as much trouble as the music business is. All right, last article for tonight. And this one, I'm put your thinking cap on a little bit. The Daily Galaxy. There's been a discovery down in Australia that they think that they have found, in South Africa. Fossils were found of the bones of a young male and adult female. And as they are reviewing these bones, they think that this may have been another version of us. And so it goes way back. They're looking at this close, but they said that there was definitely a delta here, and this would have been an upright walker. So this is big, and they think that these fossils are about 1.78 to 1.95 million years old. And the information was published in the Journal of Science. And it's got some, they've got some questions about, you know, potentially what happened to this line of the species that was just a little bit different from what we evolved from. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. You guys can check that out. All right, go ahead and go back over here to the emails or the voicemail system or the hotline. Let me load up the player here. And let's see if we actually got a call from someone. or if it was a some hacker, not hacker, but all right, let me delete that. I should have been doing this while I was talking. It's kind of like chewing gum and so let me open this. It's going to take me just a second to get this in here. As always, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can send email on the show to geeknews@gmail.com. And we always welcome your comments about the show. And plus, negative, whatever you think about the articles. And we want to hear your feedback, of course. So let me put that in there. And now let me go ahead and load this. I'm probably going to get these loaded. It won't be an actual caller call. It'll be one of these random, we've been getting these on this line, even though I've got a, okay, where, oh, I didn't paste them in. What a knucklehead. Paste. All right, there we go. All right, now we'll add them. And let's see if this is a sales or marketing call. Here goes the first one. Yeah, it's sales. Todd. Oh yeah, she's. I'm calling on the behalf of Jimmy Dean, and I'm sorry I've interrupted you, but I have a great sales opportunity for you. 47 seconds that recording. I've heard that gal's voice at least 100 times. All right, let's check the next one. This is exactly a minute, so it's almost guaranteed to be another automated calling system. Here we go. Yep, you can tell. Hey there, this is Delaney Stevens. I wonder if that's a made-up name, Delaney Stevens. Who would call themselves, what parent would name their kid Delaney? Delaney Stevens. Okay, whatever. Well, that was a waste of time. Let's go ahead and get into the email. Jeez. Oh, man. Funny. Let me load the Thunderbird here, and we'll get the email going. I didn't have that open, but we do have some comments. And the first one is from Andrew Darlow. And Andrew says, hey, Todd, hope all's all well. I thought you might find this interesting. More info on WebM video. He says, also, I recently watched the movie IMAX, Hubble at the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey, and highly recommend it. I agree with the gentleman's review, 100% link below. It is an awesome production, whether you are a space buff or not. I think you'll want to watch it 3 times. Todd, if you are in a city that's showing it on IMAX, even in 2D, people reaching out their hands to touch the sky. So this was a review of IMAX Hubble. He said, here's a review about the DVD. Here's an amazing overview of the 3D version was created. And here's an article that talks about some of Hubble's discoveries. So I'll have these up in the links in the show notes. Can't wait, Andrew. And we got an IMAX theater in Hawaii. I'm going to check immediately to see if this is playing here. Got an email from Trucker Tom, and this is about NASA losing large amounts of high-tech equipment. Said in June, NASA Space Shuttle... Oops, got a pop-up ad. Said in June, NASA Space Shuttle program will take its last flight, and NASA reported attained by the I-team from abcactionnews.com shows that $479,108 worth of high-tech equipment simply vanished at Kennedy Space Center in 2010. Let me tell you guys, $479,000 worth of high-tech equipment. I have seen, now, don't take this the wrong way. I've seen one box that's this wide, will fit in a 19-inch rack. It's about, so that would be 17 3/4 inches wide by about a 4U, so about 6 inches tall, 20-some inches deep, with a Hewlett-Packard label on it that was $500,000, a single piece of test equipment. So I'm not surprised. So it says that $100,000 worth of radios, $35,000 a wave reflectometer, used to check brakes, electrical wiring, all kinds of different stuff. So mostly test equipment. And I'm not surprised. It only takes one piece to lose $500,000 worth of stuff, especially when you're dealing with the high-end test equipment. Of course, Trucker Tom passed me the link on iPhone, keeps record where you're going. Also, he's got the information about Michigan State Police as well. So Trucker Tom was all over this as well. And got an email here from as well. It talks about a new Clockwork Orange, the marketing gadget that tracks brainwaves. We talked about this a little bit on the last show. So anyway, just a few emails tonight. If you've got comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, call the voicemail hotline here at 619-342-7365. How many of you ever, when you're actually running a little bit short of sleep, you get a, you have an eye that starts to twitch a little bit? I've had a, my right eye's been doing a little twitching. It's doesn't, have you ever had that happen? It just drives you crazy. And so I'm rubbing my eye and it goes away for a little while and then it comes back. But burning the midnight oil here on both ends. Hope you guys enjoyed the show and let me know about, you know, the little change in the format. Not too much, just small tweaks. And I'm right on time here trying to get you guys out a little bit early. And that's why we're going to try to keep the show focused on that type of a timeline. Keep the quality up on the articles. And I think it's going to help the show overall and keep things compressed down a little bit tighter. But we'll see how long I can keep to this and keep the show from growing. But again, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. My name is Todd Cochran. And of course, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the Gadget Professor and join me Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Until next time, we'll see you. Aloha. Okay, it's hot here. Ooh, really hot. How'd you guys, how did the new stream, I'm looking at the new stream, how did the new stream work tonight for those of you that are at live.geeknewscentral.com or on the site? Was the stream good? The aspect ratio looks a little weird. Cool. Well, that's a blessing in disguise. And let's actually, you guys want to look and see what it looks like running the EC2 thing. Let me bring up the browser and let's see, can I do this? No, let me shrink this down and see if I can do this. I'll bring up the screen and we'll see what the loading has looked like. And let me bring it over here and we'll do that. We'll bring up the manager and we'll go over to EC2. I don't want to do that. How come that didn't go over there? There it goes. And we'll load the instance. And then we'll look at the stats. I'll bring it up here on the screen in a second. Can't see everything. All right, let's bring up the screen. So, not too bad. Load on the server was nothing. This server will handle 1,000 live people on the stream. So not bad. Not bad at all. Let's see if I can refresh this. Oh, that's it. Anyway, very, very cool. Take this down and move this back. So I brought the stream up about 20 minutes before the show started, and it's been running now for just about 2 hours. So that means 88 cents plus the bandwidth. And, but a lot better than getting the ads from Ustream. We'll see how many people are actually up on the Ustream stream tonight. So we got a good mix of people on both services. Oh, pretty good crowd on Ustream as well, but no one in the chat. Everyone was on the website chat. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm actually doing the stream from, let's see if I can actually, I'm doing the AWS server, from this computer that's down here on the floor. So that's actually what's feeding the server at Amazon, and then I'm using the TriCaster to actually feed the Ustream feed. So let me come back here to primary. Well, I think I'm going to bounce out of here, guys. I'm my butt's dragging, and but it's been my pleasure to do the show for you. And hope that you enjoyed it. Be back up on, I'm going to actually bring some of the other shows up on replay for a little bit. And then I have to shut down for a little while to process the video. So everyone, thanks for hanging. It's been fun. We'll see you next time. And let me actually bring up last week's Gadget Professor. We'll play that real quick. And then I'll shut the stream down.